but it's just the whole thing from the beginning.
Oh no!
It'll take 20 seconds.
That's your story. We'll time this.
All right, you ready?
Yeah. Go. I'm Justin Sowler.
And I'm Ken Hankey. And we are movie critics for
Mountain Express.
Yes. And
this is already taking.
It
is take
it's already taking
seconds.
Longer than you lied to us. Anyway,
we're latest bastards. We've been in the movies. We're at the Cinema Lounge at the Carolina Asheville
on Hendersonville Road.
Is that it?
I think that's going to have to cover it because
I've
already lost my flow because of Steve's batteries. So
that happens when you get up in age.
I know. It doesn't take much. Let me tell you.
I have pills for that.
That's how I hear, but they don't make you breathe while you're doing it, and that's the major problem.
So let's talk about the films. What'd you see?
Where do you want to start, Ken?
I don't know.
You want to start with the big one?
Transmoosers?
Yes.
Well, we could start with Transmoosers. We can get the damn thing out of the way.
Can you answer, do they understand how the moon works?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that whole you've got X number of minutes thing is how much oxygen you've got.
Okay.
They do understand how the moon works, which surprises
That's
me.
That's disappointing.
It is sort of disappointing. That's true. There are many other things they don't understand, so it's not that disappointing.
Okay.
Like, they don't understand that you can't draw a planet close enough to Earth
without
really screwing things up.
Well, it's not a whole planet. Maybe that's what...
It's pretty close.
But not close enough, perhaps.
Perhaps. I think they just don't pay any attention. Anyway, it's better than the last one.
Why would they want to be on that planet? I've seen enough... I haven't seen the whole movie, but I've seen enough of it.
Because they're giant robots that are designed in ways that make absolutely no sense.
Well.
The fighting robot movie is a piece of crap. I expected it to be a piece of crap.
Did you have people cheering?
No.
I sat in on some of it and people were cheering.
I am so glad I missed that. I might have vomited.
You would have. I'm kind of disappointed you didn't get to see that.
I am sure that I will hear that I'm too serious, that I take it too seriously, that I take myself too seriously, that it's just one of those movies where you have to check your brain at the door. Why the hell should I want to check my... Why do I have to make myself as stupid as the movie to enjoy it? That's the most ridiculous concept I have ever encountered. Anyway, this movie...
Isn't the whole plan at the end of the movie where the good guys let Chicago get destroyed?
Pretty much,
yes. Isn't that the dumbest plan you've ever seen?
Well, yeah.
Isn't that sort of rude?
Yeah, it's very rude, and I'm sure Roger Ebert was really objected to it, but then again, you know, the movie is ugly, it is noisy, it is pointless, it is way the hell too long. They have actually found somebody who is worse than Megan Fox in this underwear model that they have cast in the movie. Shia LaBeouf gets worse with every increasing performance. This one strikes high notes of, what the hell is he doing? And then, of course, we have to bring in Ken Jeong. I don't know why. John Malkovich is in this movie. I guess he got a really nice paycheck out of it. The character serves no function, and there's no point in him even being in there. It's just a big, loud, stupid, awful, ugly movie. And so far, it's the worst goddamn thing I've seen this year. And this year hasn't been all that pleasing.
Did you hear what the next Michael Bay film might be?
If it's Michael Bay has a lobotomy, I'm for it.
It's a movie called Pain and Gain about two bodybuilding bank robbers. I'm not making this up. Wikipedia might be.
I was wishing you were making it up, but I knew you weren't.
He's calling it a small picture.
Buck. It's a documentary.
His name's Buck, and what does he enjoy doing? Training horses.
Training horses, that's right. He enjoys training horses. It is a documentary about Buck Brannaman, who is more or less the person who is the actual inspiration for The Horse Whisperer.
Which is every mom's favorite movie about 12 years ago.
Was it? Okay.
Seemed like such a mom movie. Like I think my mom.
I don't know. I saw it.
And
I thought it was okay, but there's one really good sequence in it, and there's It does the Brother Bear thing of the first part of the film, and the cramped east is flat, and then when it hits the wide open spaces, it's in scope. You know, Redford beat Disney to that idea.
No.
But anyway, it's a documentary about this man, and it is surprisingly good. It is surprisingly entertaining. It is surprisingly poignant, a word I don't get to use that often. Because you find out over the course of this that what you have here is everything that this man does is related to the fact that he is the product of an abusive childhood. So his idea of seeing horses being beaten into submission is where he gets this, you know, there has to be a better, a more humane way to train a horse. Even the term break a horse to him is, you know, anathema. And he really comes across as a genuinely nice, likable guy. I mean, there have been critics who have said that, you know, it'll make you want to be a better person to see this movie. I mean, I don't think it made me want to be a better person, but
that's not possible.
At the same time, I know I'm already too great, but at the same time, I wouldn't go to the mat with them over this statement. If they feel that way, I don't have an issue with it. So, this is a movie that I actually recommend.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Have you ever seen a movie that has made you want to be a worse person?
Yes. Yes. Any time that I have spent several days watching humanitarian documentaries, I always, always want to go punish a third world country just to get even for having sat through this stuff. Now, I went into Larry Crown fully expecting to hate this thing. The trailer looked awful. The plot synopsis sounded far worse. And it's a sweet little movie. I mean, I really don't understand why everybody is as down on it as they appear to be. It's not a great movie. It doesn't set out to be a great movie. But it's a very pleasant movie. I mean, and I give it extra points for realizing that the Electric Light Orchestra ever recorded more than two songs. They've got two Electric Light Orchestra songs on the soundtrack. They wouldn't have been my choice, but I didn't mind them, and at least they weren't Mr. Blue Sky or Don't Bring Me Down, which seems to be what everybody thinks comprises their entire catalog. The players are nice. The characters are nice. The things that sound really bad, like he goes back to community college and joins a scooter gang made up of various misfits. Well, maybe they are and maybe they're not. I wouldn't know because we only really get to know two of them. It's not like a collection of quirky characters type thing. Plus, you get a wonderful supporting role for George Takei as a really kind of spooky economics professor. Hanks is fine in it. Julia Roberts is fine in it. I mean, I didn't mind at all sitting through this movie. I mean, to the point where if you told me I had to sit through it again, I wouldn't go, oh, hell no. But I probably not going to ever see the thing again, but I wouldn't mind if I had to.
Well, good, because you're going to have to watch it again.
Believe me.
You can take more than Larry Crown for that to happen.
So, want to tell us about Monte Carlo?
No.
Yes.
No. Do I have to?
Yes.
Why? Give me one good reason.
I will harm you.
No, you won't.
I would like to see that.
That I think he's just challenge. Take that as a challenge.
You won't know when it's going to happen. Do you want to watch Zoolander?
Yeah, I'll watch Zoolander. That's fine. As long as I watch Zookeeper.
Oh. You watch Zookeeper?
No.
All right, then talk about Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo is a movie.
Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out.
Now, it's the latest teen sensation, Selena Gomez, or as Justin Bieber fans call her, Selena Gomez.
Well, that's sort of correct anyway. I mean, it is probably pronounced Gomez.
Well, I guess so. They've accidentally...
Yeah, they've accidentally done something. But
we're not talking about Justin
Bieber. Are they even really teen sensations? Aren't they aimed at girls who are going to be
teens? Tween sensation.
Yes.
Well, they're teenagers.
You know,
who are they? What sensation are they going for here?
Cheap thrills, no doubt.
If only.
Well, they may be all, when the cameras aren't rolling.
Nevertheless.
I can think of no safer date, though, than Justin Bieber.
He was on the cover of Vanity Fair this month.
Really?
It was the worst selling issue of Vanity Fair in the past 12 years.
Good.
Because apparently people that read Vanity Fair do not care about Justin Bieber.
There is a shock.
Yes. Anyway, what we have is Selena Gomez as this Texas gal, graduates high school, goes to Paris, gets mistaken for an heiress, pretends to be her, sort of accidentally, and before she knows it, she's full on impersonating her, mostly to help a charity. Hijinks ensue.
And romance.
Yes. And as dumb as this sounds, it is occasionally as dumb as it sounds, but it's also occasionally much better than it has any right to be.
It happens.
Especially when it's not stuck in that stupid main Prince and the Pauper plot. The scenes before the switch happened are surprisingly charming, and it's kind of nice. It's very human, the way they handle these girls.
Okay.
And what they have going on. And there's bits and pieces of it throughout the film. We just get bogged down in
the machinations of that kind of plot, which is going to happen.
If they had just made it a normal coming-of-age film, I probably would have liked it. As is, I don't mind it. It's way too long. It's way nicer and sweeter a movie than it has any right to be. But it's still what it is.
So you wouldn't recommend it, but...
For the tween audience, I think it's probably a better film than they deserve.
Well, and if you're, you give and them if a you're better a parent, film than they deserve, and maybe they'll, grow some taste.
It's true. There are bits in it that are actually pretty good filmmaking. I'm not saying it's great by any means.
Yeah, well.
It's like, oh, this is probably better than it has any right to be. But I can't recommend it to any normal person. I would not recommend it to you.
I wasn't thinking you were. There wasn't much chance anyway.
Maybe I'll get it for you for your birthday.
Gee, that would be really sweet of you.
That would be.
I'll get you Zookeeper.
Or Zoolander.
Yeah, or Zoolander. Actually, I've got a copy of Zoolander.
What about Troll Hunter?
What about it, Steve? What about it?
Tell me about Troll Hunter.
No.
Please.
We'll tell our audience about Troll Hunter.
All right. Allow me to be a medium.
We're going
to
ignore you. We'll tell the audience, yes.
What did you think of Troll Hunter?
Don't look at him. I was really kind of pleasantly surprised because I normally hate this found footage mockumentary crap. And Troll Hunter entertained and amused me for its entire length.
Right. I'm the same way. I get a strange feeling like if I watched it again, I would like it more, maybe.
Well,
I worry I undersold it a bit, but...
Yeah, the thing about it is that it's one of those things that the more I think about aspects of it, the more they amuse me.
Right.
The fact that you're the main troll hunter who is doing all the... letting these people do this because he's fed up with his job and doesn't get any benefits is amusing. The fact that he's kind of like a less vulgar Harry Dean Stanton in Repo Man.
Right.
Because, they'll ask him questions about trolls and... the answers are always more prosaic and dumb than you would expect.
Right.
Do they all have three heads? No, they grow those later on. They're not really heads in any normal sense.
Right.
They're really stupid.
Yeah.
And the fact that not only are the trolls attracted to Christians to eat them or whatever it is, kill them. I don't guess they.
But they never really explain that.
No, they don't really explain that. But apparently, they're angered by Christians.
Remember
what we find out towards the end. So I mean, it's a lot of really kind of goofy fun.
Right.
And the trolls are also, they're actually worth looking at. They're big and menacing and they're pretty good monsters.
And they're memorable.
And they're memorable monsters too.
And you actually get to see them.
Yes, this isn't, you know. Did I see something? No, you get to see the goddamn trolls. They're there. Then they feel more or less real. They feel solid. And sometimes I think it is a man in a troll suit.
I don't know. We'll have to look through the press kit, I think.
Well, you look through the press kit. You reviewed it. I didn't. I just saw it. One of those rare occasions where I've seen something that I didn't review.
Any other thoughts on Troll Hunter?
I think horror fans should see it. I think.
Yeah, I think they should. I mean, and if nothing else, you should see it because you can at least see that while I think this is a really low form of filmmaking, you can do this mockumentary found footage thing and not have it be just absolutely god-awful. Which
have actual characters
in
it.
Yeah, which 99.9999% of these movies are just actually god-awful.
This is that 0.1% that's not.
Yes.
It was bound to happen.
It had to happen eventually. Well, that last Exorcism movie wasn't really awful either, but it didn't. It did not need to be a found footage thing. In fact, that hurt it.
Right.
It made its ending really lame.
See, I forget all the ones that I keep remembering more of them. It's like, oh yeah, Cloverfield.
Well, you have to remember, I've probably seen more of this crap than you have because of film festival entries and, oh dear Lord.
You guys want to talk about special screenings?
No.
Come on, let's talk about the Thursday Horror Picture Show.
The Thursday Horror Picture Show, which is on...
Thursday,
yes, it is on Thursday. And it is
at... The 7th of July,
which is Gustav Mahler's birthday, which has absolutely nothing to do with the movies that we're running. And we are showing...
Was he not a Roger Corman fan?
He was not a Roger Corman fan. At least history does not record that he was.
He was never in a Roger Corman film...
I don't think Roger Corman made any films prior to about 1955, which means old Gustav had been dead about 44 years at this point, which limits your screen potential considerably.
Didn't stop
Unless
Ed Wood.
Unless you're Shia LaBeouf. You
know. Test footage?
I don't believe there's any test footage. No. Anyway. So we are showing those at 8 o'clock on Thursday, the 7th, and we are showing them where?
In the Cinema Lounge.
That's right.
At the Carolina.
That's
right. What are we showing?
We are showing a double feature of Not of This Earth and Attack of the Crab Monsters. Not of This Earth is probably the better of the two films in a serious manner, which is, it's not bad. That doesn't mean it's not silly on occasion. The whole sequence where...
Does it have a scarier vampire than Dracula the trailer?
No. But this whole brilliant alien is dumb enough to pull a bottle boldly labeled rabid dog blood out of a refrigerator. Which, why this is even in there with normal blood, I don't know.
Well, you don't want it to get warm.
I guess so. But and then infuse it into this girl from his planet who's come to visit. And, of course, it has disastrous results. But, I mean, it's like, A, he can't read. B, he doesn't pay any attention to what he's shoving in her, so to speak.
Aliens that come to Earth are dumb.
Well, that may well be. But
there's a reason they come here.
He's supposedly here to find out whether or not blood transfusions will ultimately cure the fact that they're all dying from a nuclear war.
Well, you got to test everything, Kim.
But the thing is it turns out that they will. But the problem with this is what that means is they want to come here and put us all out to pasture and use us for blood supply. Unfortunately, there are problems with the whole thing. Oh. But nonetheless, it's fairly sober-minded by comparison with Attack of the Crab Monsters, which, okay, look. This is a movie about giant crabs, created from radiation, God knows how, that when they eat people, take on those person's mental capabilities and communicate with other people telepathically, and they're out to dominate the world. Now, really, just exactly how serious do you think this movie could be? In its favor, apart from being gloriously ridiculous, it actually, unlike a lot of 1950s sci-fi horror, has honest-to-God crab monsters. They're there. You see them. You see a lot of them. And really, they're not as bad.
Well, not every movie was about crab monsters.
That's true.
That's why they don't have crab
monsters. But there's also a movie that Corman made a couple years earlier called The Beast with a Million Eyes. There is no such beast with a million eyes, despite what the poster would have you believe.
How many eyes does it have?
It doesn't have any.
Did you count them, Ken?
No, it doesn't have any. It refers to the fact that it controls all these animals. The beast with a million eyes is actually a hand puppet with maybe two eyes. So, I mean, this one really does what it says it's going to do. It is the attack of the crab monsters. And next Tuesday's Nashville Film Society show is If I Had a Million, which is a...
What would you do with a million?
Well, you'd need more than a million now to... This is a 1932 million, you know.
Well, apparently, here's another fact for you. To feel rich, you need $7 million. This is what rich people have said. So...
Fuck them. Okay, anyway.
You can probably get a few grand out of them that way.
Yeah, that's probably true, but... I could tell you a story... No, okay. Anyway, this is perhaps the original portmanteau picture. And for those of you who don't know what that is a movie that is basically a whole bunch of stories that are strung together on some basic setup. And in this case, it's a dying millionaire who doesn't like his relatives and he doesn't like his business associates. So he decides he's going to live long enough to give his money away to strangers. And so what the film basically consists of are vignettes involving the various strangers. She's Charlie Ruggles and Mary Boland, Winnie Gibson, W.C. Fields and Alison Skipworth. Because of the type of film that it is, it's got 17 writers on the damn thing. And about 8 directors. And of course, because of the nature of a thing like that, it's a little uneven. Some of the stuff is really good, some of the stuff is okay. But the really good stuff, the Ruggles and Boland thing, the Winnie Gibson scene, the Fields Skipworth scene, and the final sequence, which actually manages to tie itself in with the framing story, which is surprisingly moving, really makes it a worthwhile thing. Plus, you don't get to see it that often. It is not generally available. And in fact, the copy that we have comes from Great Britain because it's not available in America at this point.
What's coming up this week? Movies.
Movies are coming up this week.
All right, let's hear about it.
We have Buck.
We have Buck and Troll Hunter, both of which we've already talked about because we've already seen them.
What else do we have, Ken?
We have Horrible Bosses.
Yes.
Want to tell us something about that? Jennifer Aniston is going to talk dirty to you, isn't it?
I don't think it looks that bad for what it is.
Well, I'm sure it's time fine for what it is, but it is what it is, I think. You know, and like I said, you know, really that is the whole hook, is that you've got Jennifer Aniston playing a foul-mouthed person who is unlikable. Because, you know, having Kevin Spacey play somebody like that, or Colin Farrell, this is not news. This isn't going to shock anybody, but she conceivably might. So, that's its hook, and then there is Zookeeper, which is...
Not Zoolander,
as I mistakenly referred to it earlier. And Zookeeper is Kevin James and talking animals. Do you need to know any more than that?
And I see you're going to go see the Zoo film?
Nope.
I offered to let him have either one because I think they're both going to be pieces of crap.
No, I'm sure they will.
And there's like one is 2 minutes longer than the other one, so it was like it was a wash.
Basically, I'm never going to see a good movie this year. That's the basics of it.
Now, anyway, let's sign this thing off, because I've certainly had enough of it.
Okay.
All right. You are...
I'm Justin Souther. You're Ken Hanke.
That's right.
Or Ken Hank. Is those close to you call you the Hank?
No. No one calls me the Hank and lives to tell the tale. And you start it, you'll die too.
Ken the Hank Hanke.
You know, I know enough about cars that I know where the brake line is.
I would like to see you get under there, Ken.
I can.
You go
someone.
Ahead and cut my brake lines. If you pay somebody, it doesn't count.
Yeah, it didn't.
You're going to sit there and explain to Brian. No, no, not that one.
No, I suppose I could try Scott, who I had to show him where the radiator was.
Yeah.
I guess that's going to work. I'll fix you one way or another. Anyway, this had best not become a craze. If it does, oh, you will be sorry. I will make sure you don't ever see a good movie again.
It's better than Hanky Panky. We could rename the podcast that.
All right, Jason Southern.
You should do like a Delilah show where it's Hanky Panky, where you dedicate love songs to people.
No, we should not.
Actually,
I have thought about having a write-in contest based on an old Jack Benny program, which was I Can't Stand Jack Benny Because, and people got to send in reasons they couldn't stand Jack Benny. And I was, thinking, I Can't Stand Ken Hanke Because contest would have a lot of merit.
We should have a I Want Some Hanky Panky contest where they get to go on a date with you.
Somewhere, an electric chair is waiting.
I'm sure it's waiting somewhere.
Yes.
For
anyway,
someone.
We're done for this week. The fine folks at the Mountain Express are the people that make this wonderful entertainment, which you get free, absolutely free, costs you nothing.
We get it free, too.
That's true, we do.
In the opposite direction.
On a weekly basis, while people pour ice into machines and make all sorts of ungodly noise.
That's our sound
effect
board.
That's right. That is the extent of our sound effects. Because no one will buy me a tippy cow.
Fine. On the way home, I'll buy you a tippy cow.
You better.
We have to raise the funds with the...
That's right, with the King Kong showing.
Win some Hanky Panky.
No, I think the I Can't Stand Ken Hanky contest has much more going for it.
I think we should do both and see which... competing contests.
Yes, that would be lovely. Anyway, and we are brought to you by the fine folks at the Mountain Express, the generous, non-ice-dropping folks at the Mountain Express.
Who or ice-dropping, that would make more sense.
Who not only allow us to do this, they give us the use
of their internet.
Of their internet and the producer... Coherer.
They let him out to come all the way out here.
Miami Steve, the Colonel Shanafelt Squire.
The Hank Jr.
Insult the boy like that.